Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph by the two dots. Rashi Hagez, Inu Nuheg El Berichelin. So we said that the difference between Zorah L'chaim and Kibah, which Zorah L'chaim and Kibah applied to all behemot tehorot, as Rashi Hagez was only relevant by sheep. And the example the Mishnah gave was the ewe. We mentioned in the Mishnah that it says Rechelot, Rashi mentioned Rechelim, see in the Gemara today why that is. Menahani Mile. Some Rav Hista, Atya Giza Giza. We have a Xeroshova of Giza Giza from Reshita Geiz. Tivo Reshit Geiz Tonechot Iten Lo. So that's the mitzvah that we're dealing with. And there it says Geiz. Uchtiv Hotom, in Iyov it says, Umigeiz Kivasai Itchamam. It's a rhetorical question there. And did they not warm up with the wool of my sheep? But you see the term Geiz is used in the context of Itchamam. So, malahalan kivasim, it has to be that when he's talking about yitchamam, it's talking about kvasim, because that's the material that is used to warm up wool, which is the product of the kvasim. And afkan kvasim. So, Tosfot points out that it can't be that we're talking about a real gzeira shovel over here, because divrei Torah midivrei kavala lo yofinan, but rather it's some sort of giloi milto that we're talking about here, even though he says the Gemara sounds like, which is true, the Gemara sounds like we're talking about some sort of Gezeira Shava. Nevertheless, he says it's more likely that it's a Gilio Milta as to what the meaning of the word Giza is. Then the Gemara says, why do you have to do that? Nelev Giza Giza Me Bechor. Let's learn out the same definition of the word Giza from Bechor, Tanya. So we saw this yesterday in Devarim Tedvav, Kol Bechor Asher Yivaleid Bibcharcha V'tzoncha Hazachar Tavdish L'Hashem Elokecha Lo Ta'avod Bibchor Shorecha V'lo Ta'goz Bechor Tzonecha. So over there it says Lo Ta'goz Bechor Tzonecha. So that's the gaze again that we're being used. Tanya Lo Ta'avod Bechor Shorecha V'lo Ta'goz Bechor Tzonecha Ein Li'el Shor Be'avoda V'tzon Be'Giza. I would have thought that we have to take the pasuk literally. That you don't work with the shor that's a bechor, and you don't shear the tzon that has wool. How do I know that it's equally applicable? Meaning that you're not allowed to do a voda with the tzon, and now there be days the shor. So it's darshin that it's lo tavod, not just bechor shorecha, but tavod means period. And lo tagos, period. That based on that, he would suggest that their giza is not just about wool. Giza is not only about kvasim. Giza has a broader definition. Here you see we're using the word gaze with regards to shor. There it's clearly not wool that you are shearing off, and yet you're using the term over there. So how do you know over here too? When it says vishit gaze etzonacha, how do you know that that's referring to only to wool? So the Gemara says, because at the end of the pasuk of Rishita gaze, it says vishita gaze etzonacha titein lo. Titein lo velo lesako. It's for his usage, meaning for human usage, for the personal usage. It's to make a beged for Adam. Velo lisako, not for a sack. Sack is what you do with the hair or the shearings of the larger animals, things that are not wool. You make them into sacks. That would not be, yes, they're utilized by Adam, but they're not for the personal usage. It's not what an Adam wears. And therefore, there's a miut in the pasuk that tells us, titen lo velo sako, elamiato. If that's the case, notza shelizim lechayev. What about the hair of the goats? So why is it called the notza? Notza is generally a term as a feather. So Rashi points out that the same way that you take feathers out of a bird, you pluck them, so too for the izim, when you take out the hair, you're tolish. You pluck out the hair, it's not done the same way that the shearing is done. So over there, the Gemara says, okay, if you want to go in this direction, then why don't you suggest also that notza shalizim, which is utilized by Adam, which is used for begidei Adam, so that should be chayav. So when it says, bein in giza veleka, there's another requirement, which is gaze. It has to be sheared. You don't shear goats. You pluck them out, whatever it is that you do to get the hair out, but it's not shearing. That's whatever that pula, that verb is not used when you're talking about removing the hair from the goats. So we excluded the shor, even though there is the term giza used there because of titein lo velo sako, and we eliminated the goats because even though they're called tzon in other places, it's not called giza when you come to the goats. So man shmait le hai zvoro. Who's the one who teaches us that we are medayek out of the lashona pasuk, and when we say giza, we mean only giza. That's not just a example. just like the shearing of the tzon, so too the plucking of the goats, it'll be the equal verb, whatever the verb, proper verb is for each animal, but it'll be chayav. Where do we know we take it very literally? Geiz means only geiz tzono. So it's Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is the one, and we'll see later the Gemara in a bit, will tell us where Rabbi Yossi says that. So, but Rabbi Yossi, ha-modi Rabbi Yossi, midi de orche. Rabbi Yossi agrees that even though we take the pasuk very literally, if you do the equivalent action on another animal, and that's the way you would do it there, that's the normal way to do it, that would be included. So that would suggest over here that even though it says gizah and gaze is only applicable by stone, meaning sheep, or by kvasim, by the izim, by the goats, even though you would do tlisha, nevertheless, that would be included because that's the normal way to remove the hair of the goat. So Ella, the siba, or the reason is, could Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Shua ben Levi gives an alternative answer to the answer that we have suggested until now. Our answer until now was that we learned out of the word gaze. Gaze from Eov to teach us that it's referring to kvasim. Not gaze of Mebuchor, because of the titein lo below the sako. Not gaze of the goats, because it's not called gaze. But that wouldn't work, because we would say the one who would have authored such a position, Rabbi Yossi, who says that if you take the pasuk literally, which has dispensations, or would have included something, that it's normal method to remove its hair, and he would have included goats. So here's the alternative. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says it's in the context in which the pasuk is written, because it says in that pasuk, "Lo yeh lekohanim alevim kol shevet Levi nachala im Yisrael yisher Hashem v'nachlato yochelu nachala lo yeh lo bekerav echav Hashem hu nachlato kasher diber lo." And then, "V'zeh mishpat hakohanim et ha'am et zubcha zev achim shorim sev natan hakohen azrov lechayim kibah." Then you have reshit digancha v'tiroshcha v'tzerecha reshit geiz tzoncha titen lo. Then the pasuk continues, "Kivo v'achar Hashem lokecha mikol shvetecha la'amod lisharet b'shem Hashem hu vanav kol yamim." So what do you see? You see in the context in which it's found. The context in which the Zerah L'chaim Kibah, the Rishit HaGancha, the Rishit Giz are found is in the context of the Avoda of the Kohanim, La'amod l'sharet, when they come to serve in the Mikdash. That's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi suggests. La'amod l'sharet, davar hara'ui l'sherut. Something that is utilized in the Sherut. So, Achanami, davar hara'ui l'sherut. So over here, we're talking about something that has to be ra'ui l'sherut. So therefore, it would only be wool. Wool is the only relevant material that we're talking about here that is used in terms of the sherut of the Kohanim. And therefore, that is what it's limited to. The gaze over here is limited to wool, because that's the only item that matches with the context of the posuk of the amod u'lisharet. Well, if that's the case, ela giza giza l'mayato. So then what are you going to do with the word, this gzeir shava, this gili milta of giza giza, what are you going to do with it?
What do I need?
Exactly. So what David is asking is true. Dozo said before it was a Gilui Milta, but then he says at the end, it sounds like the Gemara is treating it like a Zerah Shavah for exactly this reason. Why is the Gemara asking, what do we do with Giza Giza? If we don't need the Gilui Milta, then I don't need, it's not something that I have to darshan. Here it sounds like the Gemara says it really is a Gezer Shavah. So Tosa leaves that a little bit of a Tarchium exactly for this question. Gledzana debate Rabbi Shmuel, Totana Rabbi Shmuel, Kivasim Shitzimram Kashe, Turim Mereshita Gez. Kvasim that have hard wool on them, they do not have to give Rishit HaGeiz, Shenemar, because of the Pasuk in Eov, Umigeiz Kivasai Yitchamam. And did they not get warmed with the wool of my sheep? What you see from that, it has to be wool that is usable, that you can utilize towards something, a cloak, towards the clothing, that would warm you up. So if that's the case, it's really, the Gemara is again using it like a gil milta over here. It's telling us, what does gaze mean? Gaze means something that you can use for clothing. But the fact that the Gemara asks the question makes it sound more like a gzeirah shavah. But wool, that's a material. Ra'oi l'sherut would be the material. So wool is ra'oi l'sherut. Now, does the particular wool that you take off have to be the wool that would have used in sherut? That's not necessarily the case. That's what the second pasuk comes to teach us. First pasuk teaches us which material. As this pasuk by Yov comes to be Megaleh Lano, that even when the material of wool, there's differences in the quality, and that only the ones that are soft, they can be made into a beged, would qualify. So now, Tani Chada, Gozeze Taisim, Bishotef et Arichalim, Patur. Someone who shears a goat, or someone who washes down, Mahir Shotef means he washes down the Rachel, and the wool comes off. It pulls off, or somehow it comes off. Patur, because he didn't do Reshita Geiz. You don't shear goats. That's the wrong verb. But they're doing it on purpose. The bride is doing it on purpose because it's the wrong thing. You don't shear a goat. And you don't take up the wool of a Rachel in this way. Therefore, you're patur. Tani Yidach. But another bride that says, it goes, is it Izim patur? For sure, if you go zeiz ditzim, you're patur, because there is no such thing as gezizah, shearing of goats. V'shotefet erechelim, chayav. But if you wash off the wool, you take the wool off of the sheep, the ewes, then you would be chayav. So lo kasha, that's not a problem. Harabonim v'harabi yosi. This is the machlok. This is before we said the Rabbi Yossi is mitayek at the pasuk exactly. This machlok is between Rabban and Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya. We have a breita that says, leket kitzircha velo leket kituf. It says it's the leket, you're only chayav in leket, bikitzircha. When you're harvesting out there, meaning you're harvesting with the proper tools and you're doing a normal harvest. Velo leket kituf. If you're picking by hand, then there is no leket, because that's not called kitzircha. Biyosi Omar, in leket, elabama machmat katzir. Leket is only qualified as leket if it comes because of your harvesting. Where it says, Rabbi Yossi, hainu tanakama. They're saying the exact same thing. They're saying that the word leket is defined by katzir, not by kituf. So where it says, kula Rabbi Yossi, that whole bright is Rabbi Yossi. V'och, tanish Rabbi Yossi, Omar, in leket, elabama machmat katzir. The reason why leket kitzircha is chayav, but not leket kituf, is because Rabbi Yossi says there is no such thing as leket except if it comes from the katzir. Rabbi Yossi agrees that if this is the normal way to harvest such an item or pick such an item, that you would be chayav. And now we bring a bright that support that. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer katzir, ain the elo katzir. So that would be the limitation, leket kitzircha. So by leket kitzircha, it sounds like that limitation is to the only things that are harvested in such a manner. Oker minayin, how do I know something that is uprooted from the ground? For instance, radishes, could be potatoes, could be any vegetable which is a root vegetable, carrots that you take out of the ground. How do I know there that there is a din of leket? Talmud Omar, liktzor. As the pasuk has the additional word of liktzor, I'll go back to this in 1 second. Toleish minayin, how do I know if it's something that you pick rather than something that you uproot? How do I know that that's the case? Something that's picked by hand. Rashi gives example, pulin, legumes. Talmud Omar, bikutzrecha. So this is interesting because, as we mentioned before, when we were dealing with the psukim of the matnot iniyim, the pasuk in Vayikra Yutet in Kiddushim, so also pasuk in Vayikra Chavgimel in Emor, they're identical. It's almost an identical pasuk. They say, ubikutzrechem et kitzirach et sechem, lo techale pa'at sadecha, liktzor, leke kitzircha, lo techale kate. So that's the pasuk that's found in Kiddushim. But you were quoting, which was the pasuk from Emor, which says, "Kutzrechem ekitzir atzachem lo techaleh paatzadcha bikutzrecha." The difference between them is the pasuk in Kedoshim says "liktzor," the one here says "bikutzrecha." Like "kitzircha lo telekate," it continues on, and has the additional, which is "lanila geotazul batam ani Hashem akeichem." But the difference between them is it says "paatzadcha liktzor" or "paatzadcha bikutzrecha." So in some people, either in the Torah or here, there's a mistake. Because he's quoting them all from Vayikra Yutet, all from Kiddushim, which is not correct. Bikutzrecha is not found in Parashat Kiddushim, it's only found in Parashat Emor. But what he's doing, he's saying is, that the word here, it's not just, it's Liktzor and Bikutzrecha come to include other forms of harvesting, as long as that is the normal method for harvesting. So Beit Bua, the normal way to do it, is Katsir. So that's the only way you're going to be Chayav and Leket, is Katsir for grains. Now when it comes to root vegetables, you'll be chayav in akira, because akira is the normal way to take it out. Now we learn out of the extra word liktzor, the way that you harvest it. And then we also had, if it's toleish, if you pick it, if that's the normal way to harvest it, then it's bikutzrecha. Bikutzrecha, when you take it out. So anything that is normal way to harvest, that'll be included. So what do we see from Yossi? This is the opinion that we mentioned from Yossi before. He's mitayek from the Lashon HaKatuv to say exactly. Just like katsir. Katsir means literally that you're harvesting, like you do by grains. Now, the additional extension of Rabbi Yossi is that it's not limited to that. It will include anything that is normally done in a similar manner to the katsir of tbua. The equivalent in any other vegetable would be true. And that's why the Gemara before questioned why by the goats, even though Rabbi Yossi takes it literally that you have to shear the goats in order to be chayav, shear the sheep in order to be chayav, nevertheless, he would agree by goats, whatever way that you remove the hair from the goats, that would also be chayav, because that's the normal manner of removing the hair. That's why the Gemara left that line of thinking and moved on to the limud of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So now, that will explain the braita that we had before. The braita before where we said that everybody agrees that giza by the izim doesn't work, because that's not the normal way to remove the hair of the izim. But they have a machloket about shotefet rechalim. When you rinse down, wash off the rechalim, and the wool comes off, is that chayav? Chamim say yes. Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says the only way to be chayav is geiz, to shear. You have to shear it in order to be chayav. That's not called shearing. Similarly, Ravina the Ravashi, Avana Nami Tanina. We actually have a Mishnah that supports this view of Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Milabnot Bitzalim Shibenayak. You have labnot, really rectangles of, but here it means rows of onions that sit between rows of vegetables, or really the rows of vegetables are really between the onions. Because here we're talking about peyah. When it comes to peyah, the only things that are chayav in peyah, one of the qualifications is it has to be nishbar and put into the kiyum. Something that people normally guard, meaning that it's not hefker. And kiyum, something that is put into storage. It's not put into storage, then it's not chayav in peyah. In their day, yerek, as we know, vegetables had to be eaten right after they were picked. There was only such thing as fresh vegetables. There's no way to store vegetables whatsoever. That's why the Gemara always talks about within 3 days, because vegetables didn't last more than that. So vegetables are pturim from peyah. On the other hand, when it comes to onions and shumim and garlic, they're the exception. They're the type of vegetable that is chayav and peyah because they're root vegetables and they can be stored. After they're picked, they can be stored in the silos. So they're chayav. So really, the issue here is that you have rows of tzalim that are chayav and peyah, and then you have rows of yerek that are not, that sit in between them. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, peyah mikol echad ve'echad. You have to take off from each row individually. Chamim amrim echad alakol. Chamim say that you take off one peyah for the whole area, because as you begin to pick the onions, the yerek is just a continuation in between. They're not a hefsek for the onions. Now, their machlok is not important, but what is important here is that Rabbi Yossi is saying when it comes to peyah, the din by peyah is, so if Rabbi Yossi really took it literally, onions are not niktzar. They're not harvested like that. But we just saw from Rabbi Yossi that Rabbi Yossi believes that if you do the normal way of bringing in such a vegetable, then you are chayav. And that's what he's saying here. The onions are chayavim in peyah. Why are they chayavim in peyah? Because you normally are okay with them. That's how you pick them. So despite the fact that they're not niktzar, nevertheless, they're chayav and peyah, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yossi that we say that when it is modeh, when it's done ke orchei, when it's done in the normal manner that you would pick it. Okay, now this part of the Gemara is discussing something that you had asked in the Mishnah, which is, I said we'll get to in the Gemara, is kamahu merubeh. How much is the minimum quantity to be chayav in Beshita Geiz? So there we saw the pasuk brought by Beit Shammai that said two. And we had the pasuk brought from Shmuel by Beit Hillel that said five. And you asked me at the time, why is it that Beit Hillel knows about the pasuk of Beit Shammai, they should also have to say two. Meaning that, why isn't it? Beit Shammai is really right. And that's what the Gemara says. Bishlamad Beit Shammai tarte nami ikrutzon. We see from the pasuk in Yishayahu that two is enough to be called the tzon. Elo the Beit Hillel, my timer. According to Beit Hillel, in Ochanami, they have a pasuk from Shmuel that says five, but they also have the pasuk from Yishayahu that says it's two already is called tzon, and that should be sufficient. So Amar Avkan, Amar Kura, the pasuk says asuyot. So we discussed this. Asuyot means laden. So now the Gemara is going to dash that. We say osot bet mitzvot. Then what does asuyot mean? That they do make you, or they cause you to be chayav in two mitzvot. What are those two mitzvot? Reshita geiz umatanot. That you be chayav. Until this point, you're only chayav in matanot, in the Zerah Lechaim and Keba. Now that you have five of them, you're also chayav in Reshita Geiz. And that's what it means, asuyot. Asuyot means that they are obligating you in two mitzvot. So where it says, Ema Bechora, Umatanot. When you say that you're chayav, you can have two mitzvot here. Asuyot, meaning the minimum of two. So you could say Bechora, Umatanot. Could be that he's chayav in Bechora, he's also chayav in Matanot in Zerah Lechaim and Keba. Where it says, Bechora, Chada, Milo, Mechaivo. What are you talking about? Here it says that five is the minimum standard. So, what do you mean? Until this point, you weren't chayv in Bechora, so now you have to say, oh, five, you're chayv in Bechora and you're chayv in Matanot. When it says, Belitameich, according to you, you've just upended your own logic, which is Matanot, Chadam ilo mechayva. If you just had one animal, wouldn't you be chayv in Matanot as well? If you apply the logic of why you're not saying Bechora and Matanot, then that should be the same logic why you wouldn't say Matanot in Reshita Geiz, because Matanot are applicable even by one animal. You don't need five to get there. El Amar Ravashi, Asyot shim asot et balehem, because they pressure, they push, they force their owners, v'amrodlo, kum asay mitzvah. Come do a mitzvah that you didn't have before. So instead of darshing asyot in the plural to mean a minimum of two mitzvot, they are darshing the word asyot here, shim ma'as, to force, to compel the owners. And what do they compel the owners? Once you hit five, the owners are now compelled to do a mitzvah. What mitzvah are you compelled when you hit five? That's Reshita Geiz. And that's why Beit Hillel says five, and not the two of Beit Shammai. Tanya, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Beit Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum Aviv. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says the name of his father being Rabbi Yossi. Arba, Shinema, Arba, four. We have Beit Hillel and the Mishnah saying five, we have Beit Shammai saying two, and now we have Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi saying the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, four. Shinemar, Varbatzon, Tachatase. It's found in Parshat Mishpatim. This is the punishment for someone who steals a seh, and then does tvichah mechira. Either sells it or he shechs it. He's chayav arba and chamisha. So over here by the sense, arba tzon tachat aseh. So you see that the tzon, when the word tzon is used in the context of a four, arba tzon.
Why are these drushas better?
We just explained why Beit Hillel's drusha is better. Beit Hillel's drusha is better because he says asiyot. Asiyot comes to teach you that this is the minimum standard for the mitzvah. Asiyot teaches us to something new. What's going to be the maila of Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi's pasuk's in the Torah. The other two brought psukim from the Navi. Rabbi Yossi brought his pasuk from the Torah. So that'll be his maila, why he'll say four is better than the others. Because they're looking for the word tzon. It says, Eishin geiz tzon chav. What's called tzon?
But here, it's a punishment.
But in the context of saying four, it says tzon. It uses the term tzon. When it says four, it uses the definition tzon. I agree with you, it's not the cleanest. Rabbi says, this is an unbelievable statement, I'm a rabbi. Il malei, and it really should be with a yud, il malei divrehem, divrei Torah, had Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel quoted a pasuk from the Torah, v'divrei beribi, and the great one, meaning Rabbi Yossi, had quoted Kabbalah from the Navi, anon k'divrei beribi shomein, we would have passed him like Rabbi Yossi. Meaning that we know that the Gemara says in many places that by Rabbi Yossi tamo v'nimuko imo. The halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi bar Chalafta, that the halacha is always like him because he was very exacting in his, what he said, and whatever he said was clear and defined. And so Rabbi says over here that even though the reason to pasuk like Rabbi Yossi over here is because he's bringing a pasuk midoraita versus Devrei Navi, says even if it was in the reverse, I'd pasuk him like Rabbi Yossi. V'chol shekein, certainly in this situation, should divrehem, divrei Kabbalah, they're quoting Navi. V'divrei Ribi, v'divrei Torah, and Rabbi Yossi is quoting divrei Torah, then al-chat kama v'kama. You have two things, you have divrei Torah plus tamo b'ni g'mako imo, that we should paskin like Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara is going to say something very interesting. Just before we do that, Rashi says, why is it that Torah is called divrei Torah, and Navi is called divrei Kabbalah? So if you look in Rashi, just in the middle of the Divrei Matkal, Divrei Berebi, by the two dots, it says, Torah to Moshe, Kriya Torah. Torah of Moshe is called Torah, the fish nitna, Torah ledorot. So that's something that's equally applicable to all generations. Vishel Nevi'im lo kari ela Kabbalah. That of the Nevi'im is not called Torah, but rather Kabbalah. Shikiblo beruach HaKodesh, kol nevu'ah v'nevu'ah. Because each nevu'ah was received through Nevu'ah HaKodesh, the fi tzorach HaShah'ah. For the period of time, v'ador, for that generation, v'amaseh, and the context in which it was said. So this is a very interesting definition. Rashi is suggesting over here that Torah has application or is applicable to Dorot. Navi, a nevuah is shayach, or shayach at that door to the people at that time, the time that nevuah is saying, questionable about its utility for the Dorot. Although obviously you can't say that in its utmost sense, because then otherwise why did they write the Nevuot down to start with? Must be that there is some lekach, there's something to be learned from those Nevi'im or those Nevuot, but there's a distinction that Rashi is drawing here between Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah, that its Torah is all equally applicable to every generation, whereas the Navi has a specific message and a specific focus within his generation. It might have residual benefits to other generations, but the direction of it is the Kabbalah for that generation. Rashi and Tanit does not say that. Rashi and Tanit differentiates between Kabbalah and not Kabbalah, even within Navi. It says that Navi, the difference between Navi of Kabbalah and the Navi of other parts of the Navi or the Nach, is that when it is prose, when it is a narrative, that's not called Kabbalah. When the Navi gets a specific command to tell the people something or do something to the people, that's called Kabbalah. Kabbalah means that he received a specific instruction. Rashi and Tanit defines Kabbalah differently. Kabbalah means I've been instructed to do something. Whereas over here, Rashi says the word Kabbalah means that it's defined by the generation. It was specifically given for a generation. That's the difference between Torah and Kabbalah. And we know in general that we don't learn in lomdim divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah lo lomdinan. We don't learn out things from Nami towards the Torah. They have a separate identity, they have a separate status. Even though in other places, in Shas, the term is used more lightly or broadly, that Kabbalah sometimes includes both Torah and Navi, and to the exclusion of Ketuvim. So, not exacting in terms of the definition, but Rashi here is giving us this difference between what's called Torah and what's called Kabbalah. Now the Gemara asks, V'amamar, inachra shlishit machrat. The Gemara is assuming here the reason that Rabbi would pass on the Rabbi Yossi is because he's a compromised position. He sits between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says 5, Shammai says 2, he says 4, that's the compromised position. Now what the Gemara quotes is, that's not true. When you talk about a compromised position, why is the compromised position machriya? So Rashi says it's like a scale. Machriya is something, a verb that is used by a scale to weigh one side down. And that is that we only talk about something being machriya if two of the opinions now align. So for instance, I'm just going to use a loose example. But if Beit Hillel was to say 5 only applies by small sheep, and it applies by small sheep and big sheep, and Beit Shammai says that 2 applies by big sheep and small sheep, and then along comes a third party and says, listen, I think Beit Hillel's right by small animals, it should be a small sheep, it should be 5. And Beit Shammai is right by large sheep, that should be 2. In that case, that compromised position is machriya. Why is it machriya? Because now if I look at the position of 5 sheep by small animals, I have 2 people agreeing that that's the case. Both Beit Hillel and the machriya, the person in the middle, the compromiser, he both agree about those 5 sheep that it applies to the smaller animals. But if, and on the other hand, I bet Shammai on the other hand, so it's 2 against 1. But if I go to 2 sheep, if I go to by the 2 sheep and I say, ah, by bigger sheep, that's the case, I should be like Beit Shammai. Now I have 2 passing that way. I have the machriya and Beit Shammai passing that way. That's why the machriya is koveya. He's koveya because he becomes the second party to make a majority in one side. Over here, Rabbi Yossi is not a machriya. His statement has nothing to do with Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. So why should we paskin like Rabbi Yossi just because he's in the middle, just because he's a compromised position? The compromised position is only valuable if it overlaps with the original positions. It has to have overlap with the original 2 positions, but then he's machriya. Then it becomes 2 against 1. Just being, because you're the compromiser, does not mean the halacha is like you. So therefore he rejects that understanding or this belief that over here Rabbi Yossi should be, the halacha should be like Rabbi Yossi in this instance. So now the answer is like this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mi pishmua amra. The reason Allah is like Rabbi Yossi is, he had a mesora directly mi pi Chagai Zechariah Melachi. So since he had such a strong mesora, that's why the halacha is like him, meaning that Hilchato Kavate, we don't argue with Chagai Zechariah Melachi, we don't argue with Nevi'im. If he had such a direct mesora, such a strong mesora, that's why Rabbi said the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. This is again, this idea that Tamo v'nimu ko imo.
So why was he mentioned
in our Mishnah? As an alternative position, I don't know. The more interesting is that's Rabbi, who's saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, the Maricha Mishnah, and he didn't put it in the Mishnah. It's a good question. I don't know. It's a very good question. Now, Reb Dusa ben Hurkanis Omer, we had a machloket in the Mishnah. Reb Dusa ben Hurkanis says that you need a minimum per sheep. You have to have a minimum of maneh v'chetzi, 1.5 maneh per sheep in order to be chayav. Not only is there a minimum number of sheep, there's also a minimum quantity per sheep. The Rabbanan responded and said, no, doesn't matter. The number is the only thing that matters. The number of sheep matters, but other than that, it's kol shehein, as much as they have kol shehein. So Mar wants to know now, kama kol shehein. What does it mean when we really, do we literally mean kol shehu? It's chayav or it's kol shehein just in respect to Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus, who requires a man of a chetz of each animal, maybe this is less than that. And that's what the machlokus over here are moraim. Amrav, Rav says, mane upras, Ubrachiu mechumashot. Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus required a maneh v'chetzi for each one of the animals. Rav comes along and says, no, you need a total of a maneh v'chetzi for all 5 animals, divided evenly. Each one contributes a fifth, but they have to get up, they have to add up to the point where you get to a maneh v'chetzi. A maneh is equal to 25 sela. This is going to become important in a second, so that's why I'm going to do this. Maneh is equal to 25 sela. 1.5 maneh, 150 zuz, or 1.5 maneh would equal 37.5 sela. So that's what you're suggesting over here, is that the total should be 37.5 sela, 7.5 sela per sheep. That's what Rav is suggesting, the kol shehein means over here. It's a fifth of what Vidosa demands, but Vidosa ben Urkanos demands that for each animal, he requires the 37.5 sela. But here we only require 37.5 between all 5 of them. Shmuel Amar, shishim. We're talking about 60. Notein sela achat the kohen. Meaning it's 1/60. You have to get the minimum you have to give to the kohen as a sela, and the measurement of what is required or matzmich is chayav in Rashid Agez is a minimum of 60 sela. Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkunos is saying that it is 37.5 times 5. So he has a much greater number than that. It's 187.5. Whereas he's saying 60, is it? Because then if you do 1/60, which is the ratio that you give Rashid Agez for, then you get a single sela to the kohen, which is a kdei netina, enough, a significant enough to give it to the kohen. Rabba bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, sheish. That has to be six sela. Because the kohen chamisha, the kohen gets 5 sela, like we said in the Mishnah later on, to make a beged in Yehuda, he needed 5 sela. Ve'chad lo, and he gets to keep 1. There has to be significance left over for the individual, the shiareha, that he has some shiraim left over from the Rashid Agez that he gives. So far we had 3 opinions. There's Rav opinion, which is 37.5 sela. We have Shmuel saying 60 sela. And then we have Rabbi Barchan and Mariochan saying 6 sela is what's chayav, in what we mean by kama kol shehen. And the last opinion, surprise, surprise, Ulam Amar Rabbi Lazar, kol shehen shaninu. Literally, kol shehen. Why is there any question? We have the kol shehen means a kol shehen. A kol shehen, you're chayav.
Rav says how many per?
7.5 sela per Rachel, but it's 37.5 total. Yeah, he's giving a total number of 60, which would be 12 for animal, and then 6 for Rabbi Yochanan, and that's both of them are because they want to have a residual of a sela, Shmuel, a residual of a sela to give to the Kohen, and Rabbi Yochanan, a residual of a sela that you keep, so that there's something significant left. And then obviously, Ulam Rabbi Lazar is Kohen, now it's not.
And what do you give to the Kohen?
Right, so that's exactly what the Gemara is about to ask. Tan, kama notein lo. Our Mishnah tells you how much you have to give to the Kohen. Mishkal chamesh slayim biyuda. They have a minimum of 5 sela in Yuda. Shein eses slayim v'galil, which is 10 in the Galil. Bishlam Rav Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, you can get there. Rav says you have 37.5 sela, so of course you can give 5 out of that. We don't know. Rav doesn't tell us how much goes to the Kohen. All he tells us is the total amount to be chayav. So Rav can fit into our mission, no problem. The Yochanan said literally that you give 5 sela to the Kohen. It's 6 is what makes you chayav, but 5 of them go to the Kohen. El Shmuel v'Rav Elazar Kasha. According to Shmuel, he said that you have 60, so he has enough to give 5, but he says you only give 1 to the Kohen. And Rav Elazar, like you were just asking, so he says, Kosho, then what do you give to the Kohen? So Kasha, that's problematic for their opinions. Velita Meich. According to your reasoning, the Rav mean Echa. According to Rav, is it really so simple? But Rav and Shmuel Darmei Tavai Rishita Gez Bishishim. Rav and Shmuel agree that Rishita Gez, the ratio of giving in Rishita Gez is 1/60. If that's the case, 1/60 of 37.5 is certainly not 5 sela, and now it's going to become problematic for Rav as well. Rav's 1/60 against the 37.5 that he says is Chayav, it's not going to give you the minimum of 5 that you need in our Mishnah. So Hayit Mar Allah. That we already have stated about that statement of Rav and Shmuel. Da'i Rav and Shmuel, the Amrei Tavayu B'Yisrael, sheish lo gizim harbei askinan. We have a Jew that has a lot of gays. Umavakesh l'tam the Kohen, and he wants to give them out to multiple Kohanim. So the difference between our Mishnah and the din that we're speaking about before is, din before is telling us what is the chiyuv of Rashida gays. What's the minimum quantity? And how much has to go to the Kohen? So Rav and Shmuel both agree that 1/60 goes to the Kohen. Shmuel just says the minimum standard is 60, so therefore the Kohen will always end up with a minimum of 1. Rav has a lower standard, which is 37.5, so 1/60 of that will be less than 5 sela. Same will be true of Rav Elazar. So then what is the Chamesh Sela that's doing in our Mishnah? The Chamesh Sela in our Mishnah is coming to teach us a different din. The din is if there's a person sheared a ton of Rishita Geis, and he can give it out. He wants to give it out to multiple Kohanim. He doesn't want to give all of it to one Kohen. The Mishnah is telling us what's the minimum amount that he should give to each Kohen. The minimum amount is Chamesh Sela, which is Kedei Netina. And if you're going to divide it up amongst many Kohanim, give a minimum of 5 Sela to each Kohen. It's not the minimum that the Kohen can get, just the minimum when you're dividing up. To give it to multiple Kohanim, you need at least 5 for each Kohen. Gufa. Now the Gemara is going to investigate this 1/60 issue. Says Rabbi Shmuel, Darmei Tavayu, Reshita Geiz B'Shishim, Shuma B'Shishim, Pe'am B'Shishim. You have 3 items that pay at 1/60 the ratio. Reshita Geiz, 1/60 of the Geiz goes to the Kohen. Shuma, 1/60 goes to the Kohen. I mean, 1/60 of your total crop is given in Shuma. And Pe'ah also, the corner of the field that you leave over is 1/60 of the field. Shuma B'Shishim, Shuma B'Shishim, Anantan. We have a Mishnah. How could you say that Shuma is 1/60? We have a mission that says, Chuma, Ein Yafeh, Echad Me'arbeim. generous person gives 1/40. So the Gemara says, De'oraita b'shishim, de'rabbonon b'arba'im. Minat Torah, you're only chayav on a ratio of 1 to 60. De'rabbanan, they said, if you want to be generous, give a ratio of 1 to 40. Gemara says, what do you mean, de'oraita b'shishim? Minat Torah, you're only chayav in 1/60 when it comes to truma? V'amar shmo chita achat poteret et akri. That you only need one grain, one kernel, in terms of truma. Truma is a kosher. One item is poter, the whole thing from being tevel. So the Gemara says, okay, de'oraita kidishmua. Enoch nami. The ikar din, midoraita, is like shmuel, which means even the slightest amount, if you give it as truma, you got rid of the shame tevel, you got rid of the problem mita dabi shemaim. You were yotze in terms of truma. De'rabonon bidoraita. The Rabbanan Shi'ur, when we're dealing with Truma De'oraita, is Achad Marbeim, is 1 out of 40. Truma De'oraita is, as Rashi points out here, we know from the Chumash, it's only by Tvua, Tirosh, and Yitzhar. Grains, wine, grapes, and Yitzhar is olives or olive oil. That's only Midoraita that's Chayav in Truma. So those things that are Chayav in Truma Midoraita, the Chamim established the Shi'ur as 1/40. The Rabbanan Midrabbanan. If it's Truma Midrabbanan, Truma Midrabbanan would be on fruit trees, any other fruits besides the olive and the grape, and any vegetables. All vegetables are clearly, Yerek is Midrabbanan, Truma Midrabbanan. So in those where you're giving Truma Midrabbanan, you give, the Rabbanan said, give 1/60. The shear of a Rabbanan in the Rabbanan is 1/60. So that's how we solve the problem of these different memorot. De'oraita, any amount is Truma, gets rid of the Shem Tevel. The Rabbanan said that you should give 1 out of 40 when it comes to De'oraita level Chiyuv, when you're dealing with Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzhar. Whereas when it comes to Truma De'rabbanan by Yerek and Peirot, there you only have to give 1/60 according to the Rabbanan. Now Peah. Peah b'shishim. Is Peah really with 1/60? That's none. We have a mission that we say every morning. El dvarim shein lehem shiur. These are items that don't have any shiur. Peah v'bikurim v'rayon. Peah is one of them. There is no shiur for peah. Bikurim, the first fruits that you bring up to Mikdash have no shiur. V'rayon is the olot ri'iyah. When you come to the Mikdash, you might present, when you present yourself in the Mikdash and the regel, you have to bring an olat ri'iyah, you have to bring a chagigah. The ri'iyah that you bring, the olah that you bring as a ri'iyah, there is no shiur to that amount. You can bring whatever price it is, whatever amount you want. So Mara says, okay, de'oraita ain la shiur. Midoraita, there is no shiur for peah. Kosher would be sufficient. Derabonon, the din derabonon is 1/60. You should give 1/60, not just that minimum. So my kamash falon, what are you teaching us? Tanina, we have an explicit mission that says that. Empochtin the peah mishishim, you have no less than 1/60, have a bishamru, a peah in la shiur. Even though we have a mission that says the peah has no shiur, no standard, no minimum. Nevertheless, Chachamim said that you should give 1/60. So that's the case. The mission is already telling us what Rav and Shmuel were adding. Rav and Shmuel not adding anything. So when it says, Hotam Baritz, the mission is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, Peah in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they're talking about. Hocha, Rav and Shmuel are talking about Peah in Chutz Laretz. And therefore they come to add that fact that Peah in Chutz Laretz is also 1/60. So one interesting thing to note, I'm just going to point it out, because Rashi and Tosafot have different answers to that, and that is that we quoted the Mishnah of Ein Lehem Shiur, which is a Peah, Bikurim, Rayon, Ein Lehem Shiur. Well, the basic question is, why isn't Truma included here? Truma also ain't la shiur. Shmuel just quoted that halacha, that Truma doesn't have a shiur. So why isn't Truma embedded, why isn't Truma included in that Mishnah? So Tosafot quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that when it comes to Truma, yes, ain't la shiur the mato. The minimum, there is no shiur. But there is a maximum shiur to Truma, because has to be shiareha nikarim. It can only be the first, the reshit, and has to have leftovers. So you can't give your whole field as Truma. Therefore, Truma is not included in this Mishnah because it's not Ein La Shiur. It does have a maximum shiur. The maximum shiur is that you can't give your whole field. So then Tosafot says, the Gemara there says, what about Peah? Peah is the same thing. You have to leave over a corner of the field. That means that at least some of the field you took. So the Gemara says that the difference between Peah and Truma is that in Peah, once you harvested a piece of it already, then you can give the remainder as Peah. So whatever is in front of you, there's no shiur. Whatever is there can be peah, you can give the whole field. After you've harvested a bit, which is what is mechayim you in peah, then you can give as much as you want. That's not true by truma. Truma, the meruach is what is mechayev, and therefore the truma cannot be given from the whole field. That's what Tosafot says. Rashi asks the same question and gives a different answer. It's a very interesting answer in Rashi. Rashi says, Avab truma, afa gab dibin d'oraita nami b'chodo miftar, nehi de miftar mimita b'tevo. That's enough to get rid of the punishment of mitah and get rid of the shame tevel. Mio lechatchila remiza shiura dila. But the Torah lechatchila hints at a shiur, that there is a shiur b'truma. Chamishim and shishim. Because the Tana, the Tosefta, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Minan, the truma shi, echad mi chamishim. I don't know, the truma is 1/50th. Shnei Rebbe Midyan, and the Paro Minan, tikach echad achuz min hachamishim. They got 1/50th. They had to give the spoils that were given to the Am, they had to give 1/50th to the Kohen. So you see, Truma is defined by 1/50th. Just like I told you somewhere else, so too over here. How do I know if it did 160? I shouldn't have to do it again. They're quoting a pasuk from Yechezkel. From that pasuk, they learn out the measurement of 1/60th. Almad b'dayi ve'shura, that it has a shiur min haTorah. It's interesting that Rashi now is calling Yechezkel Torah, just after we had that in the beginning of the daf today, that there's a difference between Yechezkel or Navi and Torah. So therefore, Hilkach lotani la b'dvarim shein lem shiur. So Rashi gives a very different answer. Tosafot gives a shiur mikar din. Yes, it could fit into Raita. It doesn't fit into this Mishnah because it doesn't have an unlimited shiur or the mala. That's not true. When you go up to the maximum shiur, there is a maximum shiur of Truma. Therefore, the Rishami says it doesn't fit into the Mishnah. On the other hand, Rashi says, yes, ein achanami to remove the halachic problem of mita devi shemaim, the shame tevel, yes, kosher is enough, and that should fit into the Mishnah Peah. But Torah hints at the fact that that's not sufficient by Truma. Torah hints at the fact that there really is, we have in other places a measurement of 1/50th. Yechezkel hints at the fact that there's a measurement of 1/60th. We see the Torah, the Navi already gives us a sense that that minimum shear is not enough. And not like by Peah. Peah, the Rabbanon also said 1/60th. But that's just the Rabbanon. That has nothing to do with something that's hinted to in the Torah. Rashi says by Truma, the shiur, the ratio is hinted to at the Torah. Therefore, we don't say in la shiur. Because there is, the Torah hints that there is such a shiur, even though technically, halachically, in la shiur. Kisalik Isi Barhini. When Isi Barhini went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkeche Rabbi Yochanan found Isi Barhini Matnele the Bray. He saw that Isi Barhini was teaching his child this Mishnah. And in the Mishnah, he said, Rechelim. When it said, Chamesh Rechelim, our Mishnah writes, Chamesh Rechelot. So he went and changed it to Chamesh Rechelim. Samalei Atne Rechelot. Why are you saying Rechelim? The Mishnah is, or should be, Rechelot. So Amalei, Isi Barhini answers Rabbi Yochanan Kediktiv. I'm using the term like it's used in the Torah, which says Rechelim Matayim. In the gift that Yaakov sends to Esav, it says Rechelim Matayim. So we see that when you're doing with the plural of Rachel, the Torah uses Rechelim and not Rechelot. So I'm teaching the Mishnah to my son, like the Lashon HaTorah, which is Rechelim. Samalei, Rabbi Yochanan responds to Isi Barhini and says, Lashon Torah Latzma, Lashon Nechachamim Latzman. The Torah writes it one way, but the Chachamim have a different way. They do it based on the grammar. The grammar is Rechelot. It should be Rachel, Rechelot. The Torah, in many places, instead of using Rachel and plural being Rechelot, it uses Rechelim. So that's the Lashon HaTorah. But what the Chachamim do Rechelot? So if you're teaching a Mishnah, which is premised on the Lashon Chachamim, then you should use Rechelot and not Rechelim. Again, that was interesting that our Mishnah says Rechelot, and then Rashi in the Divrei Matkil says Rechelim. So it's very interesting. So now, Amalei, Man Resh Sidra B'Bavel. So Rabbi Yochanan asks Isi Barhini, who had come from Bavel, who's the Rosh Yeshiva, who's the Gadol Ador in Bavel? Amalei, Abba Rika. Abba refers to Rav. In other places we saw that his name was really Abba, and they called him Rav as a term of endearment, a term of stature. Arika. Abba Arika. Arika means long. So there are two possibilities. I'd explain this. Abba Arika means that he was very tall. Rav, who was very tall. Or Abba Arika means that his power, his influence was very long. That he presided over everyone. He was the top gun there. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Abba Arika Karitei? That's all you call him? You're not calling him Admor, Hagaon, Hagadol. You just call him the long one. That's what you call him, Abba Arika. You're using his name and just call him Abba Arika, the tall one or the one who has the power. Why don't you call him something that is a term that indicates his stature? Tachirna, and then Rabbi Yochanan now goes and reminisces. We had this again earlier in the Masechta, where Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were speaking about Rav, and Reish Lakish doesn't remember who Rav is, and Rabbi Yochanan's telling him, don't you remember that guy in Rabbi Shir? And then Reish Lakish goes, oh yeah, I do remember now, he was amazing. So here again, Rabbi Yochanan's reminiscing about Rav, and he says, Tachirna kadavi yativna achar yudzayin shuran, achorei de Rav. I was sitting 17 rows behind Rav, kamei de Rabbi. Rabbi was giving shir, and if you remember in the time of the Gemara, they said rows, rows, and the row that you sat in was based on your stature and your standing within the class. So Rabbi Yochanan says over here, he was learning in front of Rabbi, and he was in row 17 behind Rav. So Rav was 17 rows ahead of him. And there were these, I don't know if they're flashes or sparks of light or fire that were moving from the mouth of Rav to the mouth of Rabbi. And the other way around, from Rabbi to Rav. I mean that they were talking in such a way that they were on the same level. And I had no clue what they were saying. So here's Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan, describing about Rav, what type of person this is, what type of Talmud Chacham he is. And he says to Issi Barini, you're calling him Abba Riko? This is, we're talking about unbelievable Gadol here, Rav. V'at Abba Riko karidei? So Issi Barini asks Rabbi Yochanan, Reshita Geiz Bekamo, how much is Reshita Geiz? So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Bishishim, 60. The way to read this is either Bishishim, you have to be Chayav if you have Shishim Selo, or Shishim means 1/60th is the ratio. So V'anan B'choshein T'nan. He says back to him, Issi Barini says, Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't our mission say Koshein? So why are you saying 60? So Malayim Kane, my Ben Li Vilucho. He says, if that's the case, what's the difference between me and you? Meaning that if I can't define the Mishnah properly, then obviously I am not any greater Talmud Chacham than you. Fact is that I can say Shishim when the Mishnah says Koshein, that's because I'm different than you. I can understand that. And what does the difference mean? Because the Koshein is relative to Rabbi Dosa Ben Hyrcanus. Dosa Ben Hyrcanus requires mana v'chetzi l'chol, each animal of the five animals. So in relation to that, or relative to that, that's called Koshein. Not that it means literally a Koshein, but it's a much lesser number. And that number is Shishim. Ki ata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Rav Dimi, when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, reported, Reshita Geiz, Rav Amar B'Shishim. Rav says that it's 60. Again, whether it's 60 Sela or 1/60th. V'yochanan Mishum V'yinanai Omer B'Shesh was 6. So Amarle Abaye, the Rav Dimi. Anachtalan chado, one of them that you brought makes it easy for us. Kashalan chado, but one of them is problematic. Bishlam ad Rabbi Yochanan, ad Rabbi Yochanan lo kasho. Over here, Rabbi Yochanan says 6. And when Issi Barini asked Rabbi Yochanan how much it was, he said 60. So we should have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. That's lo kasho. Hadidei, had Rabbe. You solved one of those problems because you said over here when it says Rabbi Yochanan, it's Rabbi Yochanan Mishom, Rabbi Yanai. We had quoted above, Amar Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheish. So over there we thought it was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, 6. Now, we had over here that Rabbi Yochanan himself saying 60. Rav Dimi solves that problem for us by saying that when Rabbi Yochanan said 6, it was Mishum Rabbi Yanai, in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yanai. But when he said 60, that was his own personal opinion. That's solving the problem of Rabbi Yochanan. You helped us in that. Hadidei, hadarabe. Oh, darab, darab, kasha. But you caused us a bigger problem now because you have a steer in Rav. Damra, Rav, mane ufras. Before, the break that we quoted before by Rav was that you have to have 1.5 maneh between the 5, 37.5 selah. And now you're quoting Rav as saying 60 selah. The Gemara says, so Rav, nami lo kasha. So ma maneh de kamar, when Rav said a maneh before, we assumed that a maneh was equal to 25 selah. He says, no, that's not the explanation over here. The explanation over here is that a maneh is equal to 40 selah. So Gemara says, da avi lebi shishim. 1.5, meaning 150 zuz, that is based on a maneh that equals 40 sela, 1.5 times that is 60. So if you take maneh upras of this type of maneh, which equals 40 sela, you'll end up with 60 sela, so that would reconcile. That's the basic question. Matani tana maneh ben arbaim slaim. Is there such a thing? Is there such a concept of a maneh that equals 40 sela? A standard maneh that we know equals 25 sela. It says, that's none, there is no Mishnah like this, it's probably Vitanyo, it's a bright, it's a Tosefta. Chamat Hadasha, talking about a new flask, talking about a water skin. Afo Pishimika Bellatri Bonim. So here he stitches up this leather to make it into a flask, into a water skin. But it's not fully sewn up, so there are holes in it. So it can't hold water. That can't hold water, there's no Gemar Malacha, it's not a Kli. But Afo Pishimika Bellatri Bonim, you could store pomegranates in there. Tehora. It's still Tehora because it never got a shame kli. It's shame kli, the use that you're making it for is for a water skin. So until it gets a shame kli, you can't say that the fact that it can hold rimonim is significant. But tafra, if you stitch it up and then made it into a water skin, into a kli, vin nikra'an, and then afterwards it ripped, shi'ura kimotzi rimonim. Once it has a shame kli on it, to lose the shame kli, it has to use any utility, and since it can hold rimonim, it still has utility with food, and it will still be defined as a kli for tumah. Lezer ben Yaakov omer, kepakiyot shel sheti. that it has to be able to hold the strings that go on the warp itself. The hole has to be a size that it will be able to, you can place it in there and it will hold it. Chatz, marba memaneh. 1/4 of a maneh, ben arba'im slayim. So the size of pakiot, what is the size of pakiah that we're talking about here? It's 1/4 of a maneh. When a maneh equals 40 sela, so that means that the pakiah will be 10 sela. The size or the weight of 10 sela. So that, here you see that we have a Mishnah that says that the maneh is equal to 40 sela. So there is such a concept of a maneh equaling 40 sela, and that will help us reconcile the two positions of Rav that we saw, maneh ufras, and 60 sela. Okay, we'll stop over here.